Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So if the trade deadline were today, would you be a buyer or a seller?
Yeah, we would be looking to improve our team. We'd be looking to improve our team for 2025 because despite the fact that we haven't been able to strung together the consistent performance that we think we're capable of, we're still very much staring down wild card chances. And you know, nobody has really run away with the AL East. And so as we start to get healthy and we start to look externally about ways that we can improve the team, we think we've got a good chance to make a deep postseason run.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's all Arcan
on WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us tonight here on this Thursday, the 26th of June, a full four-hour show, Joe Braverman. We're here till 10 o'clock, and you're getting every second of it. No cut-ins from the game, no Red Sox review. We're going to talk Red Sox today, but it's not going to be mandated Red Sox talk like post-game, like you're going to get tomorrow. No.
This we actually are choosing to talk about how bad they are.
Well, yeah, this may be the last last hurrah for a while here. Who is in the hallway, my God? It's like, what do we have, a protest outside? What's going on out there? We will have lots
just
of...
Just a casual show meeting from one before us.
It sounds like a very loud show meeting out there in the hallway. Anyways, we got a lot to get to here this evening. We have round two of the NBA draft with the Celtics making a pick early in the second round. They have a few second round picks, so we will keep you up to speed on that. Hopefully it moves a little bit faster than the draft did last night. That first round, oh my God, I think it's still going. I mean, that was the biggest drag I've ever seen. It took 4 hours to get through one round of the NBA draft. And it was the type of first round.
This is boring.
You only really cared about who got picked first overall, and you knew who it was going to be, and you knew exactly where they were going. There was only a little bit of intrigue outside of that. Is Ace Bailey going to get picked in the top five? Oh, he's going to Utah. Okay, well, that's it. There's Con Knupel, and I guess we can all go home now. No. How about 3.5 more hours? How about 3.5 more hours of that? By the time the Celtics made their pick, I was long asleep. I didn't hear about it until this morning. It was so boring. It's just, oh, my God.
We were talking about it before the show. At least the NFL draft had, like, some pomp and some pageantry, a presentation or whatever. With the NBA draft, it was just like, okay, here's the message from Adam Silver. The Mavericks are on the clock. They do it, and then they just make the pick.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was a brutal product last night, and I didn't even have the sound on. I didn't need to hear. And there was two, like ABC had a broadcast and ESPN had their B team out there. And on the ABC broadcast, it was Stephen A. Smith and Bobby Marks and the guy with the hair. What's that guy with the hair's name, Joe? The white guy with the really nice hair. It's so nice. It looks like he's wearing a wig. What the hell's that guy's name? Anyway, it's not Tim Legler. It's the other Caucasian fellow with the.
It's not Windhorst. Is it?
No, it's not Windhorst.
Of course, that's the only one.
Lean guy, kind
of
looks like Fitzy a little bit. You know who I'm talking about? He kind of looks like Fitzy. What the hell is his name? Anyway, it was those three, and then over on ESPN,
The B-cast.
It was the other one. Yeah,
I did
it was,
the B-cast. I loved listening to Jay Billis on draft night.
I didn't hear most of it. I watched a little bit more when I got home. Another hour goes by. The Celtics still haven't picked yet. It was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Hopefully round two is not quite so boring, and we'll see. I mean, listen, it's the second round of the NBA draft. It's not like it's nonstop excitement to begin with. But, yeah, that thing last night, I don't know. Maybe the pacing of it kind of reminded me of the pacing of the All-Star game. Just absolutely brutal. But what you just heard right there, and we will get to the Celtics, what they did and what they may do tonight with Dan Greenberg. He will be joining us at 7:30. Also at 8 o'clock, Bridget Prue from right here, the Skate Pod, WEEI Sunday Skate. Her and Scott McLaughlin are two hockey experts here at WEEI. She will be joining me at 8 o'clock to talk about the NHL draft, which is tomorrow night. Bruins picking very high, although there are rumors floating around now that they may be looking to trade back. I hope they don't. We'll discuss that with Bridget and some other Bruins-related things that happened this week, like Zdeno Chara and Joe Thornton in the Hall of Fame and other such stuff. Also, tonight, we got the Dongs. We got the Dongs at 9:20. Chapter 3 of Dong Report 2.0. I know Braverman's back there. It's a light slate of games, so I'm worried that we may have a bit of a small Dong report tonight, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Size doesn't matter when it comes to the Dongs.
It's true. It's not the size of the Dong. It's how you use or how far you hit the Dong. I don't know. It's something I'm still working on that one. Anyways, that's coming up at 9:25. We got the Arcan Fire. We got clickbait, all your favorite stuff, nightly news, and, of course, your 6:30 headlines. But right now I want to talk about what you just heard at the beginning of this, which was Craig Breslow, who was on this morning with the Greg Hill Show. And I thought that Breslow sounded the most relatable and human that he sounded since he took over this job and since he started doing the daily hits on this station. I thought that this morning he sounded more like a guy than he's sounded ever before. And I know that that's kind of damning with faint praise, because what I'm implying here is that he often sounds kind of stiff, as his former coworker said, or his former employee said, I should say, which got him fired. But that is sort of how he comes off. A little stiff, a little wooden, a little tough to relate to, very pragmatic. Not exactly a whole lot of personality in there. And this is an old ex-ball player and someone that has a very, very educated, obviously, and is very up to speed on all the metrics and things like that that come along with modern baseball. And I think that that sort of overwhelms everything he ever says. You know, like, that's just such a big part of who he is and what his job is, that I feel like it's very rare that you hear him talk and you start and you relate to him really at all, like in any way. Like, it's hard. He's a hard guy. He's hard to relate to sometimes. That's how I find him. I thought this morning he was much more relatable than he usually is. There was a couple of times he made some good self-deprecating jokes I heard in real time, and then Jones and Keefe were talking about it too. Hillman told him, yeah, come on, we're going to Lake Winnipesaukee next week. We'd love to have you out there. And he's like, well, things keep going this way, I might have a lot of free time. Like, that was the funniest thing Greg Breslow's ever said that I've heard into a microphone, to be sure. And I thought at various points he seemed a little bit more... I think maybe the urgency of what's happening right now had something to do with it, but it was more relatable. It was easier to listen to. I didn't find myself tuning out and sort of having my eyes glaze over as he goes on and on about, you know, whatever it is that happened to be the question then. I thought he was much more direct, and that was one of the examples of it right there, talking about the trade deadline and how they plan to buy at the deadline to improve the team this year and how he's sticking to that. But I think we know that a big reason why, or a big elephant in the room right now, is that you're only doing that if you get the okay from up top. And you're not going to get the okay from up top if you're tumbling out of the wild card even further than you already are right now. And what I thought was interesting in that answer was how he said no one's running away with the American League East. Sure, you can say no one's run away with it, but the Yankees are 7 games up on you. Tampa and Toronto might catch them, but you're not really in any place to be talking about that, 7 games back in 4th place with 2 teams in between you. Now, the wild card, you can say the wild card's a little bit different, and I guess technically he's right. No one's run away with the AL East, but you're not really part of that conversation. The wild card, you're still part of that conversation, although you're much further out of it than you should be. 2.5 games back, after being in sole possession of it not 5 days ago. Sunday, right? Yes, Sunday was when they last had the wild card all to themselves. And since then, they've fallen to 2.5 games back. They've not won a game since Rafael Devers hit that home run. It has been brutal. It's been quite brutal watching this team. And that's the part of it that he didn't really address. He got to it in the beginning, and there was another quote in there that I certainly want to touch on because it was very troubling to me. The most troubling thing he said was about the minor leagues. He was asked a question, if we have this, Joe, he was asked a question about the errors on the base path and the errors in the field. And I was interested in how that was going to be broached, and I was very interested in what Craig Breslow was going to say to respond to it, because it's been such a big problem all year long, an embarrassing problem. And what he said made me feel even worse about it.
Now, I think what recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too, and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time. But my hope is that by really being willing to take like a good, hard look at everything that we're doing across the organization, we're going to end up in a better place.
Okay. So they're not even fielding or running the bases well in the minor leagues either. So this really is a franchise organization-wide virus that's going on.
Yeah, here. He kind of basically just told you, yeah, our coaches and our staff are doing a very bad job of that now at all levels.
That was the biggest shot he's taken since he's gotten here. In the minor leagues, they're not fielding well. In the minor leagues, they're running into outs. That's not just happening up here. First of all, shot at Cora and everybody in the coaching staff up here. But then to have it go down, I mean, listen, if you read Jeff Passan and you read Abraham and June Lee and you know, all those articles after the Devers trade, it really painted a picture of a guy in Craig Breslow who doesn't have a lot of friends in that building, who is, he's got his loyalists, but other than that, everybody kind of looks at him sideways, and he fired a lot of people and, you know, came in there and audited the whole thing and fired all these longtime coaches and scouts. And there's more on that in just a second as well. Chris Curtis brought up a question that was something Jen McCaffrey reported on earlier this year about Breslow firing a scout, which I'll get to in just a minute. But that answer right there, yeah, you know, it's a problem. And also in the minor leagues, it's a problem there too. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting, Craig, because I was to believe that this team's strength was its minor leaguers and this farm system. And that's sort of a aspect of this that you don't really think about. You think about a team with a good farm system, and you think about the players, right? You don't really think about the coaching staff. You don't think about the drills and the sky, you know, and all that sort of stuff. It's like, well, are there good players in the minors or not? Because if there are, you don't care about their record. You don't care about the team's record and if they're winning the minor league World Series or the Double A World Series or whatever. That doesn't matter. You just care about individual players and are they playing well. You don't really think about how are they being coached. Is there a organizational-wide problem here with fielding grounders or you know, misplaying out fly balls in the outfield? Like, what's happening here, and why is this organization unable to find coaches at any level that can fix it and that can coach these guys up and have them ready to play defense on a Major League Baseball team? Because this is ridiculous. I mean, it's really, this whole experience this year has been a joke. And what's interesting about it, and Breslow said this too, he goes, yeah, the errors have been really bad, but the bigger problem is that you never really see this team making great plays. And I heard that and I thought, damn, that is really true. Like, Breslow, you are right. I don't know, maybe it's just now that he's ripping people, I can relate to him more. That may be what it is. No, but that's not,
you always sympathize with the incel comics of the world.
I suppose I do, but like, that's not a wooden robotic answer. It's not. That's him saying, yeah, we've got a real problem in this whole organization. In the minor leagues, they can't run either. In the minor leagues, they can't field the ball. That, you know, that to me
human players unable to compute tools.
You humans. That's sort of the point, though. And I think that
why can't you field a ground ball?
He's feeling the heat. That's the point, is that he's feeling the heat here. I don't know
which for robots is never a good sign.
It's true. You don't want your mainframe to overheat there. But that, I think, is the main issue here, is that he's looking at the calendar. He's looking at the clock. He's realizing that this whole thing, which, by the way, he has a slice of the blame pie for, but not a very big one for this year and how this year is going. I don't look at Craig Breslow and say, yeah, you know, this all happened because of you. This all happened because of things that you did. You can say that he didn't communicate well with Rafael Devers, and I would say fine, all right? That's the little sliver of the blame pie I'd give him. But for the rest of the things that he did, save for Walker Buehler, which ends up being a bit of a bust, but he had a very good offseason.
Yes, you do. Yes.
I don't see how you could disagree with that. He had a very good offseason. The type of offseason that should have been able to turn a team like this around. A 500 team from last year should be better with the additions that were made. And instead, here we are. And what's he saying? Well, you know, it's an organizational problem. It's a problem with the coaching, problem with the managing, problem with the scouts. Speaking of the scouts, Jen McCaffrey reported that Craig Breslow, earlier this year, fired the scout that discovered Roman Anthony. Now, I kind of forgot about this detail. I do remember that it was reported, but I also remember that there was this big emphasis on how Breslow was coming in and trying to, you know, basically do what Elon did in the government, except actually do it and try and, you know, trim the fat and move on and bring this team up to speed into the next generation. You know, and that was a big part of what his first year of his term and, you know, was going to be about. I don't think it earned him any friends. Certainly not in the building. I think it was the beginning of what has now come to be this contentious relationship with him and maybe a lot of his underlings, which has played itself out in comments made after Zoom calls and things like that. But for Breslow now to be discussing things like this, he was quick to answer this question from Chris Curtis about the scout that he fired. Listen to this.
I was just asking Roman Anthony, Craig, why did you fire the scout that signed him? Like, if we're talking about this great player and how he's going to change the shape of the organization, and he's this most valued commodity, it feels like you'd want to have people that could find that talent around your club.
Sure, and I don't think it's fair to anybody to get into specifics of a particular decision, but what I can say is, as an organization, we value every person, and there are a lot of great people who are doing a ton of really hard work. Anytime we have had to make a decision to move on from somebody, it's been really, really difficult and keeps me up at night because we know we're impacting people's lives and their families. But the reality is the game has changed, and the game has changed because the players have changed over the last 20 years. And if we're going to get where we need to go, which is to win a World Series, then we're not going to get there by doing things the exact same way that we have for the last 20 years. And so it's not that we have diminished the role or the importance of scouts. It's that we've asked them to take on some different responsibilities. And that's true across the office, and that's what drove the disruption here over the last year and a half.
Okay. Interesting answer there, too. First of all, we're not talking about some guy who didn't contribute anything. We're talking about the scout who discovered Roman Anthony, okay, who was the number one prospect in all of baseball and who so far, if we can be honest with ourselves here, kind of sucks at the major league level. I think we all can safely say that at this point. We're not talking about a tiny sample size anymore. It's still small. It's not tiny. So far, at the major league level, Roman Anthony has not been very good at the plate. And that's not to say he won't ever be. I mean, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, and we're all seeing it together. It's not like it's a big mystery here. I don't think they're going to send him back to Worcester anytime soon, but if it doesn't improve, then you might see that. At any rate, Roman Anthony was a grand slam for this team. He shot his way up through the minor leagues and was the number one prospect in all of baseball. And there Craig Breslow is talking about the guy who discovered him like he was some dinosaur who hasn't, you know, like he's Milton from Office Space who's still on the payroll and no one knows why. It's like, no. He's contributed things. He contributed a pretty big thing here recently. I'd like to see that thing he contributed actually hit, but, you know, one thing at a time.
What would you say you do here?
You know, that's sort of, that's what they're talking about. I'm like, and to say that we're not going to keep winning if we do things the way we did the last 20 years, well, you did win in the last 20 years. In fact, in the last 20 years, you've won once every 5 years, right, or so, since 2005. Well, I guess that's not true. Since 2005.
Every 5 or 6 years or so.
They've won three in the last 20 years. But if you want to say 21 years, they won four in the last 21
years.
Yeah,
it was 3 years between 04, 07, then it was right. Six after that, five after that.
Yeah, and now here we are. It's been, we're going on our seventh year since the last championship. And not just that, but 7 years with one exception in between where you were pretty lousy, where you've been a pretty lousy team, a pretty lackluster, schmeh, last place, 500 at best kind of team. And it's like, you know, yeah, that one year going to the ALCS was cool, and I enjoyed that, and that was a fun time for everybody. But, you know, can we see this for what it is? Can we understand that, you know, the last 20 years, you want to go back to the way things were early on in that time? And that's what I thought the message was from Passan and everybody else, is that the Red Sox and their ownership group want to get back to the 2000-2010 levels of excitement and engagement for this team and their fans. And here's Craig Breslow saying, I don't want to do things the way they've been done the last 20 years. And it's like, well, which is it, guys? You know, do you want to go back to the way things were in 2000 and the 2010s when you're winning championships and feeling good? Or do you want to get rid of every single scout and person that was here that had anything to do with that? It's got to be one or the other. It seems like for the millionth time this year, you're getting two different messages coming out of that building. And Craig Breslow is right in the middle of it. But I will say, Breslow, I liked him a lot more this morning than I usually do. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll have your 6:30 headlines. The Boston Celtics making a pick last night, making some more picks tonight. We'll get to that with your phone calls next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, trending now is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. It's an off day for the Red Sox today as they return home from their West Coast road trip where they went 3-6, including losers of five straight. They sit 7 games back behind the Yankees in the AL East, 2.5 games back of a playoff spot in the wild card. They'll begin a 3-game weekend series against the Blue Jays tomorrow night. First pitch scheduled for 7:10, and you can listen to that here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. The Mass Mutual pregame show will begin at 6:10 tomorrow. Mass Mutual Insurance, planning, investments. Elsewhere in the MLB, the finalists of Phase 2 have been announced for All-Star Game voting. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the automatic qualifiers for both the AL and NL. The lone Red Sox representative was Alex Bregman. He's advanced to Phase 2 among third basemen in the American League. It will be head-to-head voting between him and Guardians third baseman Jose Ramirez. The NBA draft resumes tonight with Round 2 beginning at 8 p.m. Celtics come into the night with the 32nd overall pick, which is the second pick of the second round. Last night, they selected forward Hugo Gonzalez from Spain, 28th overall. Some more draft talk. The NHL draft kicks off tomorrow night. The Islanders own the top overall pick. The Bruins will be selecting 7th. Meanwhile, the NHL and the Players Association are in the final stages of a new CBA that would make the regular season a total of 84 games. Also in that new 4-year extension would be a solution for emergency goaltenders and limiting contracts to 7 years maximum. And some news in the NFL, former Ravens kicker Justin Tucker has been suspended for 10 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Tucker is allowed to serve the suspension while he's a free agent. He was released by Baltimore at the beginning of last month. Looking to get away this summer? Pay for your trip with the money you found at FindMassMoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to FindMassMoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is 630 Headlines.
All right, 630, time for some headlines, and we'll start with the Boston Celtics, who last night at 28th, which took over 3 hours just to get to that pick, selected Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid, which I did not know was a basketball team. I saw that. I said, Real Madrid, huh? That's interesting. Was not familiar. Didn't know anything about it. So, well, if he's on the Real Madrid team, he must be pretty good. I looked at his numbers, not really. And then I saw that he has been involved with Real Madrid since he was 9 years old. I know that there have been some players who've had, you know, and made it to the NBA, and they got very, you know, they had big growth spurts early on in their lives. Greg Oden and, you know, LeBron was very young when he got tall and things like that.
Tatum had a Jason little Tatum, growth spurt,
sure.
Growth spurt after he got drafted.
Were any of them 9 years old when they started really growing? Like, that seems to me like how do you know a 9 year old's that good at basketball?
You ask their parents.
I'm 43. I think I could beat the best 9 year old in the world at basketball one on one. I do. You know, they're nine. What do they know? They don't. I have moves. Their 9 year old brain can't even conceive of. I don't even care if it's like a big jack 9 year old. Doesn't matter. I will beat the 9 year old. It's like me versus the otter. Like I'm pretty sure I can beat any 9 year old in the world, one on one. This is the guy on ESPN who I was trying to think of last night. By the way, if you're watching in there, who is that guy?
Oh, that's Bob Myers.
Bob Myers. Thank you.
Yeah, former Warriors. President, GM.
Okay, very good. Yes, right. He's the one who drafted Draymond Green in the second round. Good voice to have during the draft. The guy who knows what he's talking about. Bob Myers, thank you. God, I was driving me nuts. And he does kind of look like Fitzy a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I could see it if Fitzy was like 5 years younger.
Yeah, you know, like they're cousins or something. Yeah, he was last night. It was interesting. Last night he goes at the very end of the broadcast. He goes, well, we were really expecting some things to happen that didn't happen here. I was really thinking that there was going to be some big seismic shifts and moves that got made and, you know, maybe even some franchise-altering, conference-altering type of moves. And you know,
I think that already happened before the draft.
I guess. I mean, if you think that the Durant move is really that big, but, like, I don't know. I think the Durant move is good for Houston but may not make them that much better than they already were. They're already the 2 seed. I don't know if he makes them the 1 seed, right? Like, does that make them better than OKC? I'd say probably not. I think there's a chance other teams in the West could overtake Houston, so we'll see. I mean, listen, that could end up being a very big deal, but that was also in conference. right? That was Phoenix to Houston. Those are two teams that didn't really go very far. Houston, they got knocked out in the second round? First round. I forget. Either way. We're not talking about a team that went real deep. That being said, I don't love this pick. Hugo Gonzalez. It reminded me immediately of when they drafted Gershon Yabusele and then stashed him out in France or wherever it was that he played for a year before he came and back to Boston. And I wonder if maybe that's what's going on here. This is a player who Brad Stevens said is going to, you know, help us next year. We plan on having him be here. I wonder if that plan remains the plan as we go through all of this. I wouldn't be shocked if that plan changed. Scouting reports on this kid, go through them. Since I'm sure, like myself, many of you have not been watching lots of Real Madrid basketball games. And even if you had, you probably didn't see him much because he was only averaging about 5 minutes a game. Here is the scouting report from Bleacher Report that I was taking a look at. Gonzalez is a 6'7 small forward, most recently played for Real Madrid. His team was in the 2025 ACB playoffs, so he was unable to travel to Italy for measurements at the NBA abbreviated draft combine for international prospects. However, scouts saw some production late in this past season that helped his draft stock. Gonzalez's team should come to admire his physical foundation and defensive outlook. There will just be more guesswork than usual when it comes to projecting other elements of his game, including shooting consistency and on-ball development. That's what happens when you're unable to attend NBA workouts. That was a write-up by the Bleacher Report NBA staff. Didn't have a name on it. No Ceilings NBA, which is a website that I read, had this to say about old Hugo, about Senor Gonzalez. And that is, Gonzalez has been involved in Real Madrid's system since the age of 9. Listed at 6'6", 200, Hugo has historically been an overachiever at a young age. He made his pro debut in Liga ACB when he was not even 17. He's been part of some very talented teams playing for Real Madrid's under-18 team in the Next Generation Tournament. He was featured on a team that included notable players such as Igor Demon, who was drafted last night, and Jean Vide. In this tournament, Hugo averaged 18 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.5 steals. This performance was against teams featuring other players, Kasparis Jakashonis was one of them, Dame Sarr, Mohamed Faye, etc. Learning on these sorts of outings for Gonzalez helped him contextualize how talented he is, even outside of the EuroLeague and Liga systems. It's also worth noting that he helped the Spanish under-18 team earn silver in the 2023 European Championship. During the season, Hugo ranked with the 45th percentile in points per possession. Doesn't sound great. That number goes up to the 47th percentile when including assists. Modest numbers, but for an 18-year-old in the pro league, pretty encouraging. His usage for Real Madrid was predominantly divided into 4 play types: spot-ups, pick-and-roll ball handler, transition, and cutting. And then they break down each one of those elements of his game. I can tell you from watching some of his highlights that the spot-up game, I think, is going to be one that needs the most work and maybe the one that ends up being the biggest roadblock between him and actually playing on the NBA Celtics. If you watch his highlights, he has a bit of an awkward-looking jump shot. It's very shot-putty. His legs are spread like, you know, like his legs are all spread apart. It's not very compact. It's kind of loose. It's not really what his game is all about. And if you want to play in the Celtics, and you heard Stephen A. say this last night after he got picked, I hope this kid can shoot threes if he's going to Boston. That is not a major part of his game yet. It's something he can work on. He's a young kid. Certainly, you know, down the road, maybe that could mean something. Or he's going to be a late round draft pick who never really ends up making much of an impact.
Because that ain't going to cut the mustard.
Thank you, Stephen A. Because that's what late round picks in the NBA draft usually are. Either way, I'm surprised they made the pick at all. I'm surprised that they made that pick, especially after the Suns traded for Mark Williams. The Suns had the 29th pick, and they traded for Mark Williams, who is Charlotte Hornets' big man who averaged 15-10 last year, and not a great defensive player, but 23 years old and already walking double-double on a bad team.
But remember what happened earlier in this season.
The Lakers tried to trade for him, and exactly. He failed the physical, and so they rescinded the trade. And sure, at that time, yeah, fine, he couldn't answer the bell, and he couldn't pass the physical, but that's still you know, at this point, if you're the Celtics and you just traded Kristaps Porzingis and you could get a potential 15 and 10, 23-year-old kid for your 28th overall pick, would you rather have that or would you rather have Hugo Gonzalez? And that's a very real thought that I had last night while watching that first round drag on for 4 hours. Was, okay, one trade got made. Hey, that's the pick right after the Celtics pick. Hey, the Celtics need a big. Hey, this kid's 23 and averaged 15 and 10 last year. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't really remember anything about Mark Williams or him playing against the Celtics or anything. Like, I, you know, when they said Mark Williams, I said, who the hell is Mark Williams? But pretty good little player. Big player, obviously. But, you know, on a bad team, good player. Stashed away, you know, running around there with Grant Williams and the rest of the guy, LaMelo Ball and everybody else down there in Charlotte. And now he's off to a better spot. And the Celtics, a team that I think really could use some help, NBA-ready help. I was all in on them maybe drafting a big man, but if they were ready to get a guy who's already in the league and who's already playing well in the league, physicals be, you know, a little sketchy, fine. But, you know, eventually he's going to get better. And you know that at his best, he can be a 15 and 10 guy on a bad team. What could he be on a good team? Something to think about. And it doesn't seem like that really crossed anyone's mind. And if it did, they certainly didn't go for it. If they were willing to trade him for the 29th pick, then they probably would have traded him for the 28th pick. Could have undercut by one pick with Charlotte there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll have more on Hugo Gonzalez later on in the show as we continue to react to that and whatever it is the Celtics end up doing tonight. Round two of the NBA draft starts in about an hour and 20 minutes. In about 45 minutes, we'll be joined by Greeny Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports. We'll hear from Scal and Chris Forsberg, who had an interesting reaction to the pick last night. But when we come back, Cooper Flagg, the pride of Maine, number one maniac, got everybody up there going crazy, including John Saucier, who called in last night. Do you remember Saucier? Were you around for him, Braverman?
I think I might have been too young for
him. Oh, man, too young for Saucier. about to make a joke there that I would have regretted, so I'm just going to leave that one on the tee. anyway, he called in last night. It was great. Guy from Maine, used to work here. Awesome dude. Everyone's all excited. Cooper Flagg came up and started talking about who his inspirations were growing up. Up there in Maine, and his answer made me feel like the oldest man in the world. We'll get to that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's going to be a moment when you're guarding somebody or somebody's guarding you that might have been a poster on your wall when you were a kid, might have been your favorite player. Like, who's the guy, Cooper, that you imagine when it hits you? At some point next season, oh my gosh, this is my life, this is me. Who's that person?
That's a good question. Maybe Jason Tatum. You know, that's somebody that I watched a lot at Duke and then watched a lot again at as he's gotten onto the Celtics and had an incredible career so far.
Man, that was Cooper Flagg. Newest member of the Dallas Mavericks, first overall pick. Soon to be a very wealthy young man. And they asked him, who'd you look up to growing up? Who'd you have a poster on your wall that is going to be, you know, maybe be a little starstruck when you see him? He said, Jason Tatum. At first I thought, that's like a job. He's joshing around with him because he's, yeah, you're the old guy now. And then I realized, oh, yeah, right, Jason Tatum's been in the league for 8 years, right? Wasn't his rookie year 2017? 8 seasons, 9 seasons.
Like, he was 8. He's 18 now. So 8 years ago, he would have been 11 or 12.
If he's 18 now, then 8 years ago, he would have been 10.
Yeah. pre-teen years.
Right. Tweener years, which makes perfect sense mathematically. But for those of us who still look at Jason Tatum and see a teenager himself, basically, and that is a joke that went on for way too long, by the way. Jason Tatum's 19 years old.
It was just yesterday fans were screaming, he's only 19!
Yeah, and that, boy, that does stay funny over and over again. He was the first overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft. So that is 2017 was 8 years ago. That means the Cooper Flagg was a 10-year-old up there in Maine hunting bears or whatever 10-year-olds do up there. And that was who we looked up to. That's who we watched. Watched him dunk on LeBron. Watched him lead the team to playoff runs. Watched him win a championship last season. And you remember last season, Cooper Flagg was 16, right? 17? He started at the beginning of this college basketball season. Cooper Flagg was 17, and then he turned 18. Okay, so, you know, we're still talking about a very young kid, him himself. But I remember, like, when LeBron got drafted, and I was in college. I was a junior in college. I was 21 years old, and I remember thinking, this is the first time that I really feel like I'm much older than a star athlete. And, you know, there was that, like, Michael Vick. I just saw pardon the interruption. Happy birthday to Michael Vick, who's 45, which means he's 2 years older than me. And I always sort of picture Michael Vick as being like considerably older than me myself. But it's just, you know, like the generation, they get older and you sort of look at these things. But Jason Tatum is a veteran player in the NBA. And we all knew that he would be eventually. We all knew that we'd stop talking about him as this young phenom. And eventually he would just become this great player. And for the last 3 years, he's been all NBA. He's a veteran presence. He's a champion. And it's just weird how time keeps on moving. The globe keeps on spinning. And here we are, Cooper Flagg, the first overall pick, with the poster of Jason Tatum up on his wall. Old man Taters. Just weird to think about. 617-779-7937.
How long before Deuce Tatum has a poster of Cooper Flagg in his bedroom?
You know what? That's coming. Deuce Tatum getting paid the draft. Well, who'd you look up to? Well, Cooper Flagg. And then
his
Tatum's
dad's just
kid,
standing there. Just
Jason Tatum's going to be like a literal grandfather. You know? By the way, I don't know what Bronny James's deal is, but if Bronny and some young woman decide to have a Congress and produce a child, then would LeBron be the first grandpa in the league? The first NBA player with grandchildren? That kid, I don't know if that's true, but it seems like it could be, right? I can't think of any other grandpas in the NBA.
I think because it's never happened, and I'm pretty sure LeBron would retire before he gets to that
point. I don't know. I mean, Bronny's old enough to be, you know, probably meeting girls. He's in the NBA. He plays for the Lakers.
You're telling me LeBron's going to play for another 18 years. That would make him like 58.
What are you talking about?
You said he would be the first grandpa in the league.
Right.
Oh, playing
in the league.
No.
I didn't say he's going to play with his grandson. I'd say that he would be the first grandpa, the first NBA player who's also a grandfather, while being an active NBA player, which could happen technically this year. It could, for all we know, it could have already happened. You know, Bronny might have some kids out there he doesn't know about. Who knows? But I was thinking about that the other day. And then I was thinking about, like, other old players, like guys who stuck around a really long time, like the Udonis Haslams of the world and, like, John Sally, Robert Parrish, and guys like that. Like, maybe there's a chance some of them might have become grandparents, too. But who really knows? It was something I was thinking about. It's the weird thoughts I have. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Jay is in North Carolina, and I feel bad because he was trying to call in last night, but we never started talking Patriots, and we technically still haven't now, but Jay is persistent. He calls, he wants to talk Patriots, so Jay, go ahead and talk. What do you got on the Patriots tonight, my friend?
Well, I tell you, it's pushing 100 degrees down here, and I'm not shoveling snow, so I'll take the trade-off, but... Now, on the Patriots, I'm not giving Mike Vrabel a pass. He didn't do too well with the Tennessee Titans, but then again, he didn't have much to work with. Mm. And I think the Patriots situation is the same deal. But I'll leave you with this, Chris. If Vrabel can give Drake May 3 seconds to make a play, I'm in.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Jay. Mike Vrabel's not really going to be tasked with that. It'll be more the offensive line, I would think, that's going to be involved in giving him time to throw the ball. But I think he's already, and you know, Elliot Wolf to a lesser extent, or to a more of an extent, Vrabel to a lesser, is already done a pretty good job of reworking that offensive line. On paper, anyway. We'll see if they can actually play. But on paper, I think it's clear that that was what they emphasized on offense more than anything else. More than new wide receivers, more than running backs, more than anything else on offense other than the coordinator, I guess. Like, I mean, in McDaniels, bringing in a new coordinator was a big deal. You had to do that. They didn't have to rework the offensive line, but they did, and they made a big emphasis of it. So I think that that could end up being a referendum on Elliott Wolf, on Vrabel and his team building and all of that if it doesn't work out. But I have to think that it'll be better than last year. Last year's offensive line was horrific. Texter in the 413 says, Arcand, clearly you don't remember Mekhi Mason from Greenfield, Massachusetts. Clearly I don't. He used to play in Spain, went to Baylor and Yale. He was a child hoop prodigy, and he would beat very tall college players at a very young age. I guarantee you couldn't come close to beating him when he was 9 years old. The hell I couldn't. 9 years old? At 9 years old? He might score on me a couple times, but I'm winning that game. I will win that game. I don't care if he's 6'6". 9 year old? Come on.
I feel bad for your kid when he gets that age.
I don't know. I just think, you know, by the time George is 9, I'm going to be almost 50. So...
And you're still going to be here saying, I'll wipe the floor with that kid.
I don't know. I'm starting to slow down a little bit, but I think I'm still at the point in my life, at 43, that's still technically your early 40s, right? It's not mid-40s till you get to 44. This is how I look at it. 40, 41, 42, and 43 are your early 40s. 44 through 46 are your mid-40s. 47 on is your late 40s. And then, of course, you know, you get your 50s. But that's sort of how I run. I'm running out the clock right now. So this is the last year of my early 40s. Probably the last year that I could beat a very talented 9-year-old basketball player one-on-one.
That's going to be an awkward conversation at the park. Hey, any of you kids 9 years old?
That's a type of question that gets you questioned by police. But that would happen there. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls here in just a minute. Red Sox on the table. Patriots on the table if you want to call in. We will talk about what Robert Kraft had to say the other day at the Fanatics games. Talking about these last couple of seasons and what he expects coming up this year. Wasn't really too in-depth, but it was Kraft speaking. And, you know, it's been a while since we've heard from him, so we'll get to that later on in the show. Brad Stevens spoke after the first round was concluded last night, had some interesting things to say, not just about Hugo Gonzalez, the guy that they picked, but also about Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the new owners, and Joe Mazzulla. So we'll get to what Brad Stevens had to say. Coming up here in just a moment, and at 7:30, Greeny from Barstool Sports will join us talking Celtics. That's all coming up in the 7 o'clock hour next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.